Well, good evening, everybody, and a warm welcome to our evening time of worship. It's a special evening for us tonight because we have Jonathan Parkinson, his daughter Laura, and Joe here, and they are from Caring for Life. And I was just saying in the vestry, I think Ian was probably there, but I remember his father coming, and it seems it's 37 years ago, and sitting in our little old vestry at the old chapel, telling us how he had this calling. Well, there was a lady involved who was told him. There were people involved in his calling to set up Caring for Life. And so we've been involved with it for a long time now. And it is one of those things that you can't help thinking that God is very much alive, very much at work. And it's a great encouragement to see it still growing and being used.
Hey, it's good to see you all tonight. Thank you for coming out. And for those of you who aren't part of our normal congregation, a very special welcome. For those who've made the journey all the way round from Priory Road, we're blessed. Now, great to see you all here. Thanks for coming. I tell you what, we'll sing a song to start with that I think is appropriate for this. The song, There's an Everlasting Kindness, and it talks about having compassion for the poor, having compassion for those who are without. And I thought that's a good place to start tonight. So we've got it on the video rather than the music team. It doesn't always work quite so well musically and for singing, but let's see how we get on. Let's stand and sing, and let's worship the Lord and make this our prayer as we start tonight.
There is an everlasting kindness you lavished on us when the the sheep without a shepherd to leave their distress, for your streams of forgiveness and the shade of your rest. And with compassion for the hurting, you reached out your hand, and the lame ran to meet you, and the dead breathed again. You saw behind the eyes of sorrow and shared in our tears. Heard the sigh of the weary, let the children draw near. Gazed on your face, at the thorns of oppression and the wounds of disgrace. For surely you have borne our suffering and carried our grief, as you pardon the scoffers and show grace to the thief. What boundless love, what fathomless grace, you have shown us, oh God. Beautiful the feet that carry this gospel of peace to the fields of injustice and the valleys of need, to be a voice of hope and healing, to answer the cries of the hungry and helpless with the mercy of Christ. What boundless love, what fathomless grace, you have shown us, oh God of compassion. Each day we live.
Jonathan, it's great to have you here, and Laura and Joe. Tonight's your first time in here. Saying that it feels to me like I know Jonathan, like personally, but it's a Zoom knowing. Do you know what I mean? You got so used to seeing people on Zoom, you kind of thought, I know them. And then you realize it's the first time I've met him. So great to have you guys here tonight. Let's just pray, and I'm going to hand over to him, and he's going to take us through a bit of the work, a bit of ministry probably. Hopefully we'll have a bit of time to pray afterwards, maybe Q&As, and then we'll have a song and an offering at the end of that. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity of partnering with Caring for Life. Would you inspire us in what Jonathan shares with us from yourself, what he shares with us about what they're doing? Would you touch our hearts with renewed compassion for the needy and for those who are away from you? We thank you so much for all they've done. Thank you for our connection with them as a church for so many years. We don't simply want it to be historic, though. We want it to be today, and we want it to be furthering as we go into the future. So bless this time tonight. We thank you so much for bringing Jonathan and Laura and Joe here tonight. Thank you for bringing them here safely. And as they go on later on back up north, we pray for journey and mercy. But right now, would you speak to us and inspire our hearts through them? We pray. Amen.
It's lovely to be with you. And yes, rather different settings than when I last came down to the other chapel. But it's the same message, isn't it? Same God who's at the heart of what you're doing here, and we pray for you here. I bring you the love and greetings of the folks back at Caring for Life. I can't thank you enough for your partnership in the gospel. We're so blessed by your prayers and by your gifts, enabling us to do what we do in Leeds. Peter was sharing beforehand, as he did just a few minutes ago, about how my dad came here pre-Caring for Life starting, because it wasn't that he just thought, oh, it'll be a nice thing to do what we do, and I'll share a little bit more in a minute. It was that the Lord actually presented him with a challenge, and he felt compelled and commanded to meet the challenge, to meet the needs of those who were in his own church. He was a Baptist minister, those who were in need in his own church, many of whom loved the Lord, many of whom had grown up in care and were beginning to fall by the wayside after they'd left care. And this ever-growing number of young people and then homeless people just independently joining the church and coming along was really the scene that was set before my dad. So he felt very convicted to do something. And he spoke to a number of ministers who he was very close to and said, this is what I believe the Lord is calling me to do. Will you pray about it? And will you, if you can, consider walking with us on this journey? And many faithful gospel ministers and churches set off with him. And you're one of the fellowships that has. So I want to thank you ever so much. We're nearly 36 years old, and I've been involved nearly since the very beginning. So I have this noose tied around my neck. I have a life sentence. I can't get away. I don't want to get away. It's such a privilege to be able to serve the Lord, living life alongside the people that he's called us to minister to. You know, Spurgeon talked about that the poor should weigh heavy on your heart. Well, the folks or the community of people that we reach out to at Caring for Life, they weigh heavy on our hearts. They're people who fall through the net for many different reasons. They're people who are hard to engage with. And many have gone through awful things in their lives, which we'll look at a little bit more tonight. But they're the people that God has placed on our hearts. And we thank the Lord that most gloriously we've seen so many come to faith in him. That's what we want to see, isn't it? People knowing Jesus in the church and using their gifts in the church. But the folks that we do reach out to are not particularly easy for different kinds of reasons. So the scene that we see before us every single day at Caring for Life is a very chaotic one. It really is. Those of you who maybe don't know much about the work, we're a ministry that is word and deed. We're very hands-on. So we have three areas to the ministry. One is that we're out in the community across the city of Leeds meeting people in their immediate needs. So it could be a housing issue, it could be a benefits issue, it could be finding the mental health support or so forth, finding work, finding just support them to find stability. That's really our coalface work. Then on the north side of Leeds, we have a farm where we've got 15 different daytime activities there. And that base can be used as either a stepping stone to help people find purpose and stability and then on into work, or it can become their home for life. Because there are so many people in our communities who have nowhere where they can fit. Well, at Caring for Life, you fit. If you don't fit in the world, come and fit with us. And then we have two supported living homes, one for gentlemen and one for ladies, which are long-term homes, and we have a family home for one vulnerable family. So that's all I could in a nutshell. But it's very practical, hands-on, day-to-day, living life with people. And it's about relationship building. So many folks who, say, have come through the care system or have been let down throughout their lives, quick fixes don't work. They don't work for anybody, really. It's about us building relationships and proving to people that as God's people, we mean what we say when, A, there is a God who loves you, but also we love you and we care about you. So it takes a long time to cement those types of relationships. But many people say to me, why Caring for Life? Why do you do what you do? Well, we go to God's word to be reminded of why we all as Christians do what we do or what we should do. First of all, Caring for Life does what it does because God commands it. Throughout all his word, he commands us to care for the needs of those who are less well off than ourselves, those who fall through the net. And of course, Jesus' own compassion, we've sung about compassion, his own compassion compels us that if we want to be like him, then it's going to look like him. It's going to be a compassionate act. And compassion isn't just a nice word, it is an action. We see that with our Savior. But in the book of James, we read James at the end of chapter 1 saying that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And we know that orphans and widows and aliens is very much in the Old Testament a catch-all for those who fall through the net, those who are in need, those who are impoverished for whatever reasons. And then he goes on in chapter 2, he says, verse 15, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, we know James isn't saying if you do these things, you earn your way to heaven. You're not gaining credits. He's not saying that at all. He's saying if you have been changed by the love of Jesus, if you've been saved by his grace, then how can you, when you look at the world, not be compelled to do something? And us in our context, the Lord brought to us this issue, and those before me were moved with his compassion to go and do something. So there, in God's word, is why we should do what we do. Matthew 25 is a passage that means so much to us, as when our Savior says to us right there, you know, whatever you did, these vulnerable ones, for me, for them, you did it for me. It's almost as if you're doing it unto me. You're doing it for me. And they are very much Jesus' words to call us to action, to go and clothe the naked and feed the hungry, etc. But I suppose in John 1:4, John there, he really slaps us in the cheeks, doesn't he? And gives us a reality check. He says, we love, and if you're a Christian, Jesus has changed you. You should love those around you, your neighbors. He says, we love because he first loved us. That's simple, that, isn't it? That's the reality check for us all. That's the reason we love, because he first loved us. In Matthew 9, do you remember that scene where Jesus was on the mountainside preaching about who he was, calling people to repentance, saying, here I am, the Savior of the world, the one that you need more than anything else. He'd been ministering to them, and they'd been hanging off his words for 2-3 days, And many of the people were walking away, and they were wobbly at the knees because they hadn't been eating. They'd been listening to him, feeding off the word. And he calls his disciples because his heart was moved with compassion. He says, feed these people. They're going home weak and wobbly. Well, in many respects, we've got people coming to us at Caring for Life who are very weak and wobbly. We want them to feed, most crucially, off the word of life, Jesus himself. But we also want to feed them because they're also physically weak and wobbly. And that's just part of what we seek to do. So that's why we do it, because God commands it. Jesus' love compels it. And what do we do? Well, I suppose what we do at Caring for Life is very much a practical outworking of all of those passages and the other words that God has for us as his children to go and share the gospel, as I said, in word and deed. You know, people ain't going to know about Jesus unless you tell them about him. It doesn't matter how many good works, how many tins of beans you give away to somebody in the name of Jesus. Unless you talk to them about him, they're not going to know about him. We have the privilege of being able to talk to them about him and give them what they need and help them on the other hand too. But in Proverbs 31:8, you'll know this proverb ever so well. We read the Lord speaking. He says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." In many respects, that's what we do. And who do that all for? Well, first of all, we do it for him. Do it for him who saved us, who poured his love out upon us through sending his precious son into the world. But we also do it for the destitute and the rejects and those without any social status, those who are outcasts. In many respects, them that Jesus spent time with, that Jesus loved spending, that Jesus got in trouble spending time with. We love spending time with those folks. They're the people the Lord has brought us to share his love with. You know, I've got a friend in Scotland who's a pastor. He's written a very challenging book, a tremendous book, called The Least, the Last, and the Lost. And we're called to share Jesus' love with and the gospel with the least, the last, and the lost. We thank the Lord that there are many now who aren't lost, but they still feel like they're the least and the last. But once they come to realize who they are in God's sight, they come to or begin to realize that they're not the least. They're certainly not the last, and they're definitely not lost. They're one of his children. Caring for Life, those of you who have been with us will know many things have changed over the years. The environment in which we work, the farm, our base has changed an awful lot over the years, but so many things, it's exactly the same. The same message, the same Savior is held high. The same ethos and the same spirit flows through our veins. The same call and the same challenge to win souls for the kingdom of God, all exactly the same. But there are so many things that are going on in our society now which are incredibly challenging for a ministry like us. We're all being challenged, I'm sure, in different types of ways. But some of the live issues that we're dealing with now are incredibly painful and difficult for us to cope with. Although we can walk away where many of our folks actually have to live through the pain and the trauma. But the community of people we share Jesus' love with are an incredibly chaotic one. And if you were to spend a day or two with some of them, you'd be pulling your hair out. I've not got much left now, you've noticed. That's because I spend so much time with our guys. But it's a very chaotic scene. It really is. And I don't know how some of these folks cope. Many of the people who come to us make really bad decisions. Frustratingly so. But also bad decisions are thrust upon them. And I'm sure at times they wish they hadn't been, but they have. They have. So for them, chaos is the norm. I don't know how they cope, but they somehow do. They bumble along. But we know that ultimately, and this is why we as a Christian mission, it's crucial we do what we do, because we believe that it's only God that brings calm into the chaos. Only him. It's only him that brings light into these very dark places. So we go with him, hand in hand with him, to see people saved, but see people also rescued. Obviously, poverty is a big issue that is on the news at the moment, with the rising costs of living and all those types of things. And that is having a huge knock-on to people in our care. We've got many who, pre the crisis, were really in difficult situations in relation to poverty. And of course, poverty isn't just money. There's lots of other things related to poverty. But one area of our work has been and is every day to help people try and get on a financial stable platform. We had a guy that came to us not so long ago who was in a terrible situation, huge debt, payday loans. People were very much after him. He tried to take his life on a number of occasions because he was in such a bad situation. And we were able to find for him the right benefits and able to get things just a little bit more stable, work with him to budget and try and maintain the income that he had with his outgoings. And we managed to do that. And he said to one of our workers, he said, "I feel like I can breathe again." Isn't that lovely? I feel like I can breathe again, because the weight of all that pressure because of his financial state was such that he just felt like he could not live anymore. it was better to die than to try and face tomorrow. Well, praise God, we were placed in his life to help him face tomorrow. Ultimately, we pray that he comes to know and love the Lord. But the cost of living crisis is a huge issue. What we do at CFL is we work with people. So we don't just go, hey, here's food, give you loads and loads of food. Let's just sort out all your money and you disempower people. We don't do that. We work with people. We want to help people through. We want to give them dignity as we work through issues together. I think that's crucially important. But what we do with the food, and we're so blessed to churches and individuals that send us money and send us food, we work with a person and because of their needs and issues. There are a number of people who are addicts. So we don't want to be giving them lots and lots of food when they're just putting needles in their arms. We want to work with them to deal with issues. We don't want them to starve to death, but we also don't want to be guilty of feeding issues. So we try and be wise in the way that we help people, and we're going to be wise in how we help people with this crisis that's before us. But of course, it's a big concern about how do we literally get people through winter. So we're thinking through those types of issues now. So value your prayers that people would engage with us when we come up with ideas, because that's often what we're doing. We haven't got the answers, we're just bouncing ideas around the place to try and help people. We've seen a real decline in people's mental health. These are live issues for us right now, the decline in people's mental health. I mean, poor mental health has always been an issue for us with the people we're caring for. It's not just a pandemic issue. People have got seriously poor mental health. And of course, going alongside that, physical health. That goes out the window when you're feeling like you've no hope, don't want to face the future. And that's how your mind works. So you stop eating, you stop caring for your body. So we're helping people with all sorts of things around, not just their mental state, but their physical state. And so many do feel they're absolutely worthless. They have no value at all in this world. Housing issues, such a live issue for us in Leeds. At the moment, they think there's about 28,000 people looking for homes. And that means that whenever one person goes for a flat, there's about 950 people going for that one flat. And trust me, the flats, if you can find them, are generally horrendous. We've got people who are on a band called Band A Plus. That means that you are fleeing racism, domestic abuse, victimization. And we've got some people that have been on that list for 2 years. And we're struggling to keep people alive, literally. I receive a little report from my team members each week telling me how they are, telling me how our folks are, telling me encouraging things as well as distressing things. And one of these gentlemen who's on that list, who's been desperately trying to get moved, again last week attempted to take his own life. These are really traumatic things that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. These are live issues. So again, value your prayers around those things, that we are able to find the appropriate place for people to live. Now, when we started 30-odd years ago, the scene was very different in terms of housing. You might even remember my father talking about this a long time ago. What we tried to do with folks who'd lived such mad, chaotic lives, trashed places, was we'd find them a flat, wouldn't necessarily be in the best area, we'd help them do it up, and we'd work with them, encourage them to look after it. When they'd proved themselves looking after that place, we'd move them on into a much nicer spot that they could settle down and sort of like make as a home, not just as a place where they lived. Couldn't do that now. We don't have that grace anymore to do those types of things. So these are big issues. Issues around safeguarding. My word, COVID has done so much damage in safeguarding terms. You know, our big concern was health, but it's far deeper than that. And there's far more effects from COVID than just health. Environmental issues. You know, thinking about the areas where some of these people live, things can happen very, very quickly and things be hidden. So we're dealing with cases now, people, one lady in particular, who was groomed into one of those horrendous sex rings that you will have seen on your television screens. Do you remember the situation in Rotherham a few years ago? And you had that rotten lineup of faces of those wretched men who'd groomed all those girls, damaged those girls. Well, we've got a girl who was groomed into that gang by another lady. And she's now stuck in this situation. And we've been working with the police and with various other agencies to try and get her from this situation. She's a deeply damaged girl. She's a care leaver. They know how to target people who are already vulnerable. and already struggling in life. And we've been praying for her, and we've been trying to help her practically with these other guys, as I said. And we were just beginning to see her out of this situation, working with the police. And then she's put herself back into it again. And I asked her, I said, why did you put yourself back in there? And she just said to me, she said, it numbs the pain for a while. And I'm thinking, how much pain must she have going on in her head for her to put herself back in there and that numbs the pain? These are awful situations. We don't know if we're going to see this little lass survive, because she's attempted suicide numerous times just this last week. It's a very, very serious situation. But this is a safeguarding thing that we deal with, and we are dealing with. You know, the world that Caring for Life works in, I know we're very positive about the work, and we are. It's brilliant. It's amazing. But it's messy, and it's murky, and it's chaotic, and it's incredibly sad. It really is. And those types of issues that I've just said there, they are often made worse because of issues that have gone on in the past. You know, often we look at somebody presenting in a way, they might be angry, or maybe they've got an addiction issue, or maybe they just can't seem to spend the money on the right things, whatever it is, or just the way they talk about themselves, or they talk about people. And we just look at the problem. Well, Caring for Life's never been in the business of just sticking a sticky plaster on it, a little problem, homelessness. We're not interested in that. We want to get to the root cause of why somebody is as they are. And that's why we were titled Caring for Life, because it sometimes takes a lifetime to really get to understand why somebody is as they are. And many of the root causes for those in our care stem from when they were children, from when they were little. The vast majority of those in our care have suffered abuse as children. Well, that leaves scars that last a lifetime, an absolute lifetime. And even when you come to faith, it doesn't mean that the pain disappears and the scars disappear. You have a Savior who walks with you every day, who does comfort you, who does carry you, but you're still haunted. Well, as God's people, we're called to walk with people, to be there to protect people, to encourage people, and to help people with those types of traumas, those lifelong battles that go on in somebody's heart. You know, we had a girl came to us. She was 40 years old when she came to us. And from the age of 3, literally up to the day she came to us, it was worse when she was 3 to 18. Every day she was sexually exploited by her parents and her uncle and her neighbours. I can't imagine that, can you? From the age of 3. She comes to us age 40, and that really was the turning point in her life. She moved into Wendy Margaret Hope. It was the turning point in her life. But occasionally, she would disappear off to her mum's for the weekend, and we were a bit upset about that, but she did. And then she'd come back with hundreds of pounds in her pocket. You know, breaking old habits or coming to believe and understand that that's not what you were created for takes a long time to break that chain, that mindset. But praise God, when people come to us, they start to see something very different about what life is like, what love looks like. You know, I could be talking Chinese, literally, if I was to talk to somebody and I care about love. And that's why we have to show and exhibit what love really looks like. It's so important. I have to show what it looks like to be a loving father, a kind father, a father that respects and protects the child. Well, this is a whole alien world to those in our care. It really is. But praise God, many have responded and seen God at work, not us. God at work through what we call to do. So those are just examples. That's just an example of why somebody might be as they are, because they suffered as a child. Also, the issue of not being believed, you know. So many little ones are never believed. I remember a little girl I grew up with in Sunday school. She was part of the children's home that the need grew out of. So I remember this little lass. I go like that. I was like that as well. So at the same time, we grew up. She was in the church. She left care 18, and she was one of the early young ladies that we looked after. But when she was in the children's home, the social services or the social worker insisted that she should go home to her mum and stepdad every weekend. And she would come home from these visits with bruises and various other issues. And Esther, who ran the home, reported this. She said, this child's being abused, and you're asking her to, or telling her she's got to go back every weekend. And they refused to stop it because they were mad on keeping families together. And anyway, she left care. Relationship broke down with mum, stepdad, quite rightly so. Horrible group of people. Anyway, 2 years ago, a policewoman came to Caring for Life, and she said, I've been trawling through some files, and I've come across this case of this young girl who was part of Caring for Life, who Esther Smith, who also was part of Caring for Life, had raised all these alerts and said that this situation was happening, and that Esther had believed her and had said this is what should happen, and it wasn't listened to. I said, that's right. So, well, I'm taking that case up, and we're going to prosecute that guy. Now, he's an old man, and I'm praying he gets prosecuted. But, you know, Esther believed her. Nobody else did. Esther built a relationship with her, like a mother. She came to Caring for Life. We believed her. But all of her life, she's lived with the trauma of nobody really believing because there's no justice. There's no justice, is there? You know, there isn't much justice for people who are hurt this side of eternity, for many. But there is justice. Because we have a God who sees absolutely everything. Nothing goes by. Nothing goes unnoticed. And that's one of the things we tell people in our care. Yes, awful things happen. And it was wrong that certain things happened. But don't think that sins against you will ever be just overlooked. They won't. They'll be dealt with. But, you know, all of those types of things do feed into why people live such chaotic lives. They're just two or three examples. They really are. Not being encouraged or enthused over or opportunities given. You know, I was saying to the guys, when I was a little one, I'd draw paintings, I'd bring them home from school, mum and dad would go, oh, they're wonderful, they'd stick them on the fridge. They were rubbish, if I'm being perfectly honest. There was no Picasso in our household, I can tell you. But we enthuse over our little ones, and we should. You know, teach them how to ride a bike, they fall over, it's not like, oh, you're rubbish. Let's get up and let's try again, it's okay, I did that, let's try again. But so many don't have any of those types of opportunities, and that's where a lot of our day-to-day interaction with people, the projects that we have at the farm, going out for day trips. Those of you who receive the bulletin, you'll be reading about that, the things that we've been doing, and how important that is to build people up, to enable them to find hope and purpose and joy in this life. Now, we want them to have hope in Christ so they have a brighter tomorrow, brighter hope for tomorrow. That's what we want ultimately. But the shows that the guys take the cattle to and the sheep to and the horses to now are thrilling for them. It just expands their horizons. And the parties that we have, you know, we had a guy we've only been working with the last 18 months or so, and we found out when his birthday is, as we do with everybody, and we gave him a card just at his birthday. We didn't think anything of it, just give him a card. He said, it's the first card I've had for 40 years, he said. You know, we take a lot for granted, don't we? Christmas time, we're going to have our Christmas party, and I wish you could come to our Christmas party. So if you want to join us, come on up. Have a great time with us. We'll laugh at each other. We'd even laugh at you if you came as well. We'd have a great whale of a time. But we have one guy called Michael who rounds off our Christmas parties, okay? Exactly the same every single year. It has been for the last 30-odd years, okay? And do you remember the Goons? Do you remember George Gershwin? No? So one of the Goons would go, now so-and-so is going to sing George Gershwin. So one of the guys would come up and he'd stand there and go, George Gershwin. Yeah, right. Well, we all laugh, you see. And then I go, encore, encore. Michael comes up again and he does another George Gershwin. Now, it's utter rubbish. But we love it. And it just gives him a happy memory of Christmases. But, you know, encouraging people, enthusing other people isn't unimportant. It's not. It's crucially important. Other reasons why people live such chaotic lives is not just things go on in the past, but things still go on today. That young lady I just told you about, issues still go on today, and that breaks our hearts when we see all of these things going on. We want to bring change, but sometimes we're powerless. We just need to be there, and we need to pray earnestly that the Lord will work in the midst of it all. You know, the societies that many of our folks have grown up with, they were taught right from an early age, you're not going to make anything of your life. You've got nothing to give. So therefore, you haven't, have you? Oh, we'd say the polar opposite to anybody who comes to us. And then in the middle of all of that, you have the mental health issues. you have the learning disabilities, and tell you, some folks, they have heavy weights to carry every single day, just getting through life. You know, if you want to access benefits, for example, you need a degree, don't you? You certainly need to know how to read and write. You need an email address. Well, many of our folks, no, not there. So we have to help them. But that's a heavy weight. It's a heavy burden. You know, one of the things we do, and I think we do it pretty well, is we work with people's disabilities to find their abilities. Because everybody has an ability. Everybody. We've got people who are experts with horses that couldn't tell you one end of a computer to another. People who are experts with chickens, experts with animals, experts with wood, really gifted. But in the real world, as people would make them believe, they'd be useless. They wouldn't have a lot of value. Well, they are very valuable in God's kingdom. They really are. So what a messy scene that is. And I'm sure you're all really happy that I came and told you about that tonight. Yeah? You know, there is one answer, and we know it's Jesus Christ. One answer, because Jesus is the life transformer. The reason you're sat here tonight is because Jesus changed your life. He turned the light on, and you came to realize you were a sinner and you needed saving. And unbelievably, God gave his son to die for you. He is the life transformer, and we love him, don't we? We love him. We would hopefully die for him because he died for us. We certainly should love others because he even loved us. We love him. And we want others to know, not just that we love him, but that he loves them. We want people to know Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said this in Romans 1:16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." What's the gospel? Jesus is the good news. He's the gospel. What he did is the gospel. It's the good news. Getting to know him, having him as your Savior and friend and Lord. That's the good news. You can have that. That is the good news. You can have him. But he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." We're not ashamed of the gospel at Caring for Life. But a lot of people point fingers at us in the city of Leeds. A lot of people accuse us of trying to make people Christians. I haven't got a clue what a Christian is. You know? We don't care what they say about us. We do get upset if they speak ill of our Savior. But we live for the gospel. So we're not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. He says, "For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Now that's important to think about. It's the power of God. And you know what? We sometimes can belittle the power that God has and the power that God can work even through you if you're willing to love like Jesus and to try and see the world through Jesus' eyes. But he said there, it is the power of God for salvation. Salvation that we all need. But who for? Is it just the clever people? Is it just the folks that wear suits? It's for everyone who believes. Everyone. So whether you're a pauper and you live in a community of people we share Jesus' love with, or you're a prince and you live in a palace, it's for everyone who believes. Salvation for everyone. We all believe, and I'm sure you would agree with me, that the love of Jesus is a powerful thing. It transforms lives. But you know what? Don't ever take for granted, not here in Pressingfield, just how important it is that you love one another. The love that Christian people have for one another should be so different to anything in the world. And it is. And we don't half let God down by forgetting that sometimes. I'll give you an example of a man who is in our care. He's a lovely man, a gentle man, Christian man now. But he is in a very different place to his brother. And when he was a little boy, he was sexually harmed by his mum. Now that's pretty horrendous, by his mum, him and his brother. But he went and was fostered into a Christian home, Christian parents. And he's with us. He loves the Lord. He's a deeply damaged man, but he loves the Lord. He's a gentleman. His brother was fostered into a cruel home. And he's now serving multiple sentences, life sentences for rapes and murders. It was a Christian home. It was Christian love that made the difference. And we shouldn't take for granted what we have and who we are and the difference we can make to our neighbors and our friends. Pray for eyes to see and hearts to be ready to serve. It's a wonderful thing. You know, some of you, you've probably heard me talk about Joseph before. Our mate Joseph Solomon. And some of you have met him. You know him. I wish I had the faith he had and the boldness he has. You know, Countess of Wessex comes to visit us first time. There he is introducing his shire horse, Luther, to her. He says, this is Luther, ma'am, named after Martin Luther, the great reformer, the Christian man. Oh, that's interesting. He says, yeah. He says, are you a Christian? Straight, I'm thinking, blooming heck, that's a bit in your face, Joseph. It's only been here 5 seconds. Are you a Christian, ma'am? And she says, I think I am. Says, there's no good thinking, you need to know. Isn't that beautiful? You need to know. Doesn't matter thinking about it, you need to know. Boldness, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yes, the love of Jesus, it transforms people's lives. In the middle of all the mess and all the sadness and all the hurt, though, God is doing amazing things. We've seen over this last year or two, through COVID, real relationships forged. And we've been able to prove to people in a deeper way that we believe what we say and we mean what we say when we say we care and we're going to go the extra mile. We thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord ultimately that we've seen souls saved in the last couple of years and some of those folks planted into churches. Now, some haven't quite understood the big picture. They will. But we've got some who are members of our church. You know, Joe, one of my good friends over here, come and chat to Joe after. Joe and Gary, they've been fantastic, invited a young lady who came to faith during COVID to our church, Emma. And that's a joy to have her part of our fellowship and other people's in churches too. We thank the Lord for that. We're seeing loads of people coming to our Bible studies and really wanting to know and dig deep and ask questions. And we're talking about big questions that they ask, really awkward questions. But I was speaking on the parable of feeding of the 5,000 the other day. And we have two particular guys that are coming. One's a goth, and the other would regard himself as a Satanist. Now, it sounds a bit shocking to say you've got a Satanist coming to your Bible study, but I think that's pretty good, because you've got a Satanist sitting under the gospel. And there they are, sitting there. And the lad who's a goth, I can see him mulling over as I'm talking about feeding the 5,000. It's 5,000 men, so that means you've got the women and the kids. They're not even on the list. That's how important they were. So it's probably an awful lot more than that. And I said, at the end of this year, time on the hillside, we've got 12 baskets left over. Everybody's full. 5 loaves, two fish. Isn't that amazing? And he's going in his head, and I can see his face, and he's going, you're a nutter, Parkinson. What a load of garbage that is. His Bible rubbish. And at the end of the study, he says, I've got something I want to say to you. I said, yeah? He said, that fish could have been a tuna, because they are massive, them tunas. Absolutely massive. Isn't that lovely? And I said, you know what? Could have been a tuna, but that little boy, what a fella he must have been, and some appetite, two of them tunas in his pack lunch. But isn't that wonderful? I think that's wonderful. Will you please pray for folks like him that he'll really come to understand that we worship a God of miracles. A God of miracles. A God who forgives sins. That's the greatest miracle, isn't it? But a God who can meet him in his unbelief and enable him to come to realize that the things that we read in God's word are true, not make-believe, real. So please pray about those types of things. Please do. I'm going to finish, I think. I'm going to show you a film, because I don't know how long I've been up here, but probably way too long. But the partnership that we have with you is so crucial and it's so precious. And I'm saying this to a lot of churches, that if there are things that we can do to help you and encourage you, because you encourage us. We have loads of knowledge. We mostly learn from our mistakes, not necessarily our successes. But you may come into contact with people who we're in touch with. And we might be able to help you train or give advice or guide, whatever. Please use us. I'd like to forge that. Please use us. Okay? Because we haven't learned these things so that we can keep all this to ourselves. We've learned it so it can be passed on. We can learn from one another. Another thing you might see, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, is EP. They're going to produce some Bible study notes on Matthew's Gospel. We've got a whole host of other ones. We're hoping to build a series up. And we've developed them and designed them to meet the types of folks we have with God's Word, to make it accessible to folks. So, again, that might be something that will be useful in the future. But thank you ever so much for this time. Come and chat to us after. We have a monthly bulletin. Some of you, I know, pray through this monthly bulletin. And hopefully it will inform you and hopefully encourage you with the things that are going on. If you haven't, you don't get this and you'd like to do, again, sign that up. We can email it or post it to you. It comes out each month, and I hope that would be a resource that would be a blessing to you. But I'm just going to show you a little film now. It's called Jesus and Me. And this little film was put together a couple of years ago, and mainly on the back of some of our folks saying, we want people to know what Jesus means to me. So everybody you see on here are folks that have come to know and love Jesus through their time at Caring for Life. And the song is written by a lovely guy called Steph McLeod, who's a Scottish guy who's a believer. And his song really is his own testimony, but his testimony is very much the testimony of so many of our wonderful folks in our care. So thank you, and thank you, Stu.
In 1987, Caring for Life set out with two very distinct purposes. The first was an action to practically meet the needs of adults who had experienced homelessness, abuse, neglect, or may have been completely isolated and were struggling to survive. The second reason Caring for Life came into existence was to simply introduce people to a peace and a love that can only be truly experienced by knowing and loving Jesus, and to help people find Him as their personal friend and Saviour. This short film is just a glimpse into the heart of a few amazing people we have had the privilege of being able to help on that journey. And we pray you will be encouraged as you hear how our Heavenly Father has enabled them to be transformed into one of His children, and how they now have a peace and a hope that only Jesus can give.
Being around Christians made me feel happy. Made me feel I was part of a family. And then now I do feel like I'm part of a family now.
I found Jesus, He was holding on to me. I was broken and couldn't stand on my own two feet.
Because I enjoyed the Bible studies and I want to know a bit more about Jesus Christ. He was born to, He died for us so we get a better life. Going to a better world where there ain't no pain. And
when I found Jesus, He was standing over me. I was down and out and living on the street. There were times I could have died, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know it then, but I'd been saved by the blood of Jesus.
Last night after Bible study, I suddenly felt like God had gone and it was all not real. But I asked God to show me He's there. God showed me that He's here and He heard and hears every one of my dear God prayers. I love God and now I know He's listening and taking care of us. I'm going to keep praying. God loves us no matter what.
He gave me peace from my trouble.
I didn't think I'd sort of changed, I don't know. It's not a, like an outward change, like you put a little top or something on or all like that. It's sort of inside or something.
When I found Jesus, He was walking next to me. On the lonely path of my man-made destiny. He must have looked into my eyes, saw the tears and heard my cries. For where I stood, I was saved by the...
I think it's given me something to hang on to, something to believe, some purpose in life. Knowing that there's a God out there, Jesus' His Son, and that whatever I've done in my past, whatever I do, he'll forgive me, hopefully, for anything I've done wrong in my life, or if I've been, what's the word, showing malice to anybody, I'll ask for forgiveness, and he'll forgive me for that, but I try not to.
Yeah.
I just try and be the best person I can be.
Yeah.
And I know that Jesus is there for me and he helps me do that.
He called my name, and I would never be the same. For one touch from the King of Kings changed everything.
When I found Jesus, I just wanted to become to know God more and go to Bible studies and listen to him more and just to love him as he loved me.
Yeah. You know, because as I've grown up in somewhere, I was kind of like saddened by what went on with Jesus. But Caring for Life has taught me it was done for a reason. And it was his reason. It was God's reason. And that's what makes it. It was telling us not to feel guilty, but embrace. And you're embracing death, but is you embracing a new life as well?
We thank the Lord for all these precious souls, souls who are now his children. We hope that you can see beyond the stuttering and the stammering and hear their hearts speak about their love for Jesus.
Shall we pray? Yeah, just as your heart's moved, give thanks, pray for these people, pray for Caring for Life. Just going to leave it open for as long as we want. If we're just quiet, I could do with some quiet. Father, it's a privilege to partner with these guys. We thank you for bringing them here tonight. And would you, we pray, stir in our hearts, as Paul has said, something that's not just for this moment. As moved as we are at these accounts, at people's lives, the love and the grace that is flowing through the guys at Caring for Life, it's easy to be moved in the heat of the moment, but would you put that into our hearts? May we live that out. We're aware that there are people not dissimilar living within spitting distance of this church. Oh, Father, may it be known that the God who works through Caring for Life is the same God here. May we have that same heart. Lord, there are folk that come into this place regularly that are touched by many of the issues that Jonathan has been describing tonight, and we pray that we would have the same heart of love and of grace and of patience. May we be our own little Caring for Life down here in the heart of North Suffolk. But Father, right now we want to pray for those guys up in Leeds. We thank you for them, and we pray for the outpouring of grace of the Holy Spirit on them. Please, would you give them wisdom every day as they try to get alongside and to know the right way to help the different people? Would you give them the right words to say? Would you help them to know when to say them, how much to say and how little to say? And would you give them every day fresh supplies of love and grace and patience and forbearance as they work and minister with these precious people? Thank you for the vision that you ever gave to Jonathan's dad. And we thank you for Jonathan carrying that beacon. We pray that you will give to him strength, wisdom, and all the things that he needs, physical health, physically and mentally, as he holds these things. Thank you that he's got good people around him, and we pray that he'll always have the team that he needs. But we know it's not just him, it is the whole ministry. And so we pray for every single person that works with Caring for Life. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to work upon them, so that through them you will work in the hearts of those people, that you will bring compassion, but through that compassion you will bring new life, that there will be heart change, that there will be true life transformation for your glory in and through that ministry. So we thank you for inspiring us and touching our hearts and moving us tonight through all of this. We give you praise and we give you glory for what you're doing. But Lord, we still live in a broken world and there's still work to be done. And so we commend them for the future, and we commend ourselves and say, Lord, would you take us, or would you help us and give us all wisdom as we partner together for the great kingdom of God, the coming of your rule on planet Earth. Hear us, O God. And would you bless us now as we listen to a final song, and as we give from the plenty that you've given to most of us. Would you touch our hearts and touch our wallets now, Lord, as we seek to bless these people with some money so that they can carry on with this work for you. Hear us then. We thank you for all of your kindness and grace and patience to us. May we live that out every day in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to listen to this last song. I think it's appropriate for this. It's a lovely song by City of Light called All My Ways Are Known to You. And isn't that great that all our ways are known to him? It's a lovely upbeat song. If you want to sing along, great. If you want to tap your feet or tap your hand on your thigh, you're allowed to do that. But let's enjoy this and let's revel in God's goodness to us as we give out of what for most of us is our plenty. Let's worship him and let's enjoy the song. Sing along with it if you want to. Well, our ways are known to you. Whether they're high, whether they're low, thank you for all those people that are connected with Caring for Life, that all their ways are known to you. And no one is so low. No one has gone so far that you cannot and do not desire to reach down and lift them up. So, Father, may we know that, may we live it out, and may it show through us. And may it comfort us when we feel that our lives are falling into hard places. May we constantly be reassured by that knowledge that all our ways are known to you. Father, we bless you and thank you for our time together tonight. May it motivate us and stimulate us in our life as we go out into this week. Go with us then. Help us to live out what we are so that you will be glorified and the lost will be found and there'll be great rejoicing in heaven over sinners who are repenting, whether that's in Leeds or whether it's down here in the wilds of North Suffolk. We love you and we thank you. We praise you for your wonderful love and grace to us. Accept our thanks and please make sure that these gifts are used for the glory of your name and the help of the guys at Caring for Life in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. God bless you.